To turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10, and also the book of John, chapters 11 and chapter 12. In Luke chapter 10, we'd like to read verse 39. Luke 10, verse 39. And she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In John chapter 11, verse 32, then when Mary, same Mary that we just read of in Luke chapter 10, was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. John chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary, again, same Mary, in the other two passages, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. These verses deal with three separate occasions. And on each occasion, there is the presence of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, notice verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. In John chapter 11, verse 28, and when she, Martha, had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come. The Master is come. And then in John chapter 12 and verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Then Jesus came. So in each of these passages, we see that Jesus Christ was there. Now, wherever Jesus went, he was. That is, he was who he was. Wherever Jesus went, he was God. And we see here in each of these passages that Jesus was there. He was there as God. He was there as the Creator. He was there as the Sustainer of all things. He was there as the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth. He was there. He was there as the Eternal One. He was there as the Immutable One. He was there as the Immortal One. He was there as the All-Knowing One, the Omniscient One, the Infinite One. He was there. He was there as the one and only Savior, the one and only Deliverer from sin, the one and only Emancipator. He was there. He was there as the only way to God. He was there as the one and only door into the blessings of God. Jesus was there. He was there as the bread and the water of life. He was there as the shepherd. He was there as the great I am. He was there as the rock of ages. He was there as their only hope. But in each occasion, Jesus Christ was there. And he was there as their friend. He was there as the greatest of all. He was there as the one who is above all. He was there as the one who is superior to all, the one who is beyond all. But in each occasion, Jesus was there. The most precious, the most lovely of all. He was there. And be assured of this, he is here today. Again, These verses that we read for our text deal with three separate occasions. And each occasion involves Mary of Bethany, one of the greatest women of faith that ever lived. Mary of Bethany. We see her three separate times under three different circumstances, three entirely different situations. Three times we read of this Mary of Bethany, and each time we see her at the feet of Jesus. Every time you read of Mary of Bethany, she is at the feet of Jesus. Now, she was the sister of Martha. She was the sister of Lazarus. But the most interesting feature of her life is that each time you find her mentioned, she is always at the feet of Jesus Christ. Whenever Mary of Bethany is in the presence of Jesus, we see her at his feet. She has this habit, and it is a very peculiar habit, of being at the feet of Jesus. It seems to me that this is where she most desired to be, because every time we read of her and Jesus in the same place, there she is at the feet of Jesus. So it seems to me this is where she desired to be. It seems to me that she was drawn there. She was drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. This is where she felt most comfortable, at the feet of Jesus Christ. I believe being at the feet of Jesus Christ governed her desires. I believe being at the feet of Jesus Christ guided her priorities. But without a doubt, being at the feet of Jesus Christ was her practice. That's where we always find her, at the feet of Jesus. And in this day of so-called intellectualism, in this day of haughtiness, and in this day of pride and selfishness, in a day when spirituality is very, very shallow, and in most cases non-existent, we have much to learn from Mary of Bethany. And today we want to consider these three occasions where we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. And that'll be our subject this morning, at the feet of Jesus. Notice in Luke chapter 10, we see her at the feet of Jesus, eagerly listening to what he has to say. It is here in Luke chapter 10 that we have our first glimpse of Mary of Bethany. Her sister, Martha, had opened her home to Jesus. We read in verse 38 that Martha received him into her house. So Jesus was in the house. And while Jesus was there, Martha was doing the best that she could. Be a good hostess. That's really all Martha was concerned about, was being a good hostess. And we see Martha, she's scurrying around the house, working frantically, and as a result, she was cumbered. That is, she was pulled in many directions. She was distracted. She was overburdened. And what she was distracted by and overburdened by was much serving. We see that in verse 40. She was cumbered with much serving. Added to that, she was worried. She was very anxious. And she was distressed. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And while all this was going on with Martha, we read in verse 38 that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Jesus was in the house, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is scurrying about the house, and it doesn't take long, but Mary becomes exasperated, or Martha becomes exasperated. Verse 40, Martha came to him, Jesus, Mary sitting at his feet, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me, and I put the emphasis on me, hath left me to serve alone. Lord, I'm the only one doing anything. That's what she's saying here. She hath left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, command her that she help me. Now, in my own mind, I imagine that before Martha issued her complaint in verse 40, she probably passed by that way several times. Houses weren't that big in those days. And each time she passed by and saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, the more angry and agitated she became. And I picture her, before she issued her complaint in verse 40, as saying, Mary, Mary, I need your help. And there she sat. Come through the room another time. Mary, would you help me? And I can hear Mary saying, Martha, look who's here. Look who's here. It's Jesus, the Son of God. Martha, I'll help you later. But right now, Jesus is here. Martha, the dishes can wait till tomorrow. But right now, Jesus is here. Martha, the sweeping, the dusting, it can all wait till tomorrow. I'll help you tomorrow, Martha. But right now, Jesus is here. And there she sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha, I'll help you tomorrow. But right now, I just want to spend some time with Jesus. And Martha became agitated. And she finally said to the Lord, Lord, do you not care that I am doing all of this by myself? Would you not please tell her to help me? And Jesus, of course, answered Martha with really pity for her. So as Martha was scurrying about, engrossed and absorbed with all the things that she felt needed to be done, her heart is filled with anxiety. Her heart is filled with distress. Jesus is in the house, and Martha invited him into the house. She received him into the house. Jesus is in the house, and Martha is anxious and distressed, missing the blessings. And there sits Mary at the feet of Jesus, She sits there in stillness as Mary is scurrying about. And we read that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha couldn't hear Jesus with all the banging of the pots and pans. She couldn't hear what Jesus had to say. But Mary was centered. Mary was focused upon Jesus Christ. And Mary heard Jesus Christ. And as a result, she was calm. As a result, there was a tranquility and peace and contentment about her soul. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Imagine what she heard that day. Imagine the things that Mary heard that day. And as Jesus spoke to her, she no doubt that day at the feet of Jesus saw the goodness and the sovereignty and the mercy and the grace and the long-suffering of God in the person of Jesus Christ. As Mary sat at the feet and heard his word, she was blessed. As Mary sat at his feet and heard his word, no doubt she was edified. No doubt she was encouraged. Jesus was in the house. Was Martha encouraged? Was Martha edified? No! She was too busy. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And no doubt found strength there. Mary found strength at the feet of Jesus. Mary found courage at the feet of Jesus. Mary, as she sat there and heard his word, no doubt felt fulfillment. And no doubt had her soul was refreshed. And no doubt she felt a spiritual rejuvenation, a spiritual revival. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And all the joy, the thrill, that filled her heart. The pleasure and the delight that she found sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, you and I live in a world that is very sinful, very wicked. This world is twisted. This world is corrupt, it's defiled, it's vile. It's a place of enmity. It's a place of hostility toward God. But I want you to know today that Jesus is here. And we can be like Martha. And we can go through certain acts and miss all the blessings. Or we can sit at Jesus' feet and hear him speak and be blessed of the Lord. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now notice John chapter 11. Our next view of Mary, we find it here in John chapter 11. When Jesus came back to Bethany after the death of Lazarus, and the sisters, Martha and Mary, went out to meet him. And again, we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. This time, she's at the feet of Jesus in deep sorrow. She's seeking comfort. She's seeking relief. She's seeking help. In John chapter 11, we see that Lazarus became sick, very sick. Martha and Mary sent for Jesus. We see that in verse 3. But notice verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. In the meantime, Lazarus died. Notice verse 19. And many of the Jews, Lazarus has died, came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So all the acquaintances and all the friends of Martha and Mary gather, perhaps again at Martha's house, and try to be of some comfort, some assistance to Mary and Martha. While this was going on, Martha heard that Jesus was on his way to Bethany. Notice verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Because I don't believe Mary had heard that Jesus was coming at this point. In verses 21 through 27, we see that Martha, having heard that Jesus was on his way, she went out to meet him. She had a conversation. She had a conversation with Jesus. That conversation is recorded in verses 21 through 27. We'll not read that for time's sake, but verse 21 says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died." After this conversation, she returned to the house, and she called her sister Mary to the side. Notice verse 28. "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly." That is, she goes in the house and she says, "Mary, come here, I've got something to tell you." And Mary would come over to Martha. And Martha said, "Mary, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee." Mary, Jesus has come, and he's asking for you. And all the joy, and all you cannot even begin to imagine what Mary began to feel. The Master has come, he's asking for you, and Mary, he's waiting for you. And then notice verse 29. "And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him." Notice verse 30. "Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him." He was waiting. He was waiting for Mary. And I just picture Mary running down the street to get to where Jesus was. Her heart is breaking. She has inward pain. She has inward hurt. She's full of sorrow. And we read in verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, She saw him in a way that Martha did not see him. Notice in verse 21 again, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here." It doesn't say that Martha saw him. No doubt Martha did see him. But it is specifically recorded that Mary saw him. She saw him in a way that Martha didn't. But she knew him in a way that Martha didn't, because she had sat at his feet. And she came in verse 32. She saw him and she fell down at his feet. And she said the same thing that Martha said. She said, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." But there is a difference. In verse 21, you do not see that Martha fell down at his feet.
Martha just came into his presence and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But Mary came and fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you would have been here. There's a difference. There is a difference in position. Though she said the same thing that Martha said, she fell down at Jesus' feet in sorrow, seeking to be comforted. And this world, as we all know, many times proves to be a place of darkness, proves to be a place of thirst, proves to be a place of helplessness. It proves to be a place of futility. It is a place of failure. It is a place of exhaustion. It is a place of weakness and disappointment. It is a place of discouragement and defeat and affliction. And you may have come into this building today with heartache. You may have come into this building today with anguish and distress of soul. You may have come in with many, many burdens and many problems and many difficulties and many trials and temptations. And you may have come in here today fighting many battles and struggling with many things. But hear the words, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Hear those words today. The Master is come. The Master is here. Jesus is here. God is here and He calleth for thee. What are you going to do? Oh, we need to use Mary as our example. She left where she was and came to Jesus and fell at His feet, pouring out her heart to Him. Oh, fall down at Jesus' feet. There's mercy there. There's mercy there. At Jesus' feet, you can feel the love of God there. At Jesus' feet, there's deliverance. At Jesus' feet, there's forgiveness. At Jesus' feet, there's comfort. At Jesus' feet, there's relief. There is peace. There is sweet communion. There is strength. There is reviving. There is spiritual fulfillment. There is refreshment. At Jesus' feet, there's joy. At Jesus' feet, there's pleasure. At Jesus' feet, there's delight. And we see Mary now. She's at the feet of Jesus, pouring out her heart to the Lord. And to save time, we know the story. She found relief there at the feet of Jesus. Jesus would go to the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus would say, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the grave he came. A beautiful picture of salvation. A beautiful picture of the rapture as well. But that brings us to our next view of Mary in John chapter 12. Lazarus has been raised from the tomb. Verse 1, and Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, just like she did back in Luke chapter 10. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So there were several there. Perhaps all of the apostles. But our attention is directed toward Lazarus. Lazarus, who had been raised from the tomb, now sits at the table. What a beautiful picture. Again, of salvation. What a beautiful picture of the coming of the Lord. But you and I, we have been raised. We have been raised from the holding and binding power of sin. We have been raised out of the depths. We have been raised out of the depths of unrighteousness. We have been raised out of the depths of wickedness. We have been raised out of the depths of alienation and estrangement from God. We have been raised from the darkness and the enmity and from the depths of spiritual bankruptcy. We have been raised from the depths of condemnation. And there's a table spread, and there's a place for me at that table. And I can sit at that table today. And that's where we find Lazarus. Lazarus is sitting at the table. But then our attention is drawn to Mary again. You see, Mary has this box. And it's filled with sweet fragrance. And as she looked on that scene, there's Lazarus, her brother. He's been raised from the dead. He's been raised from the tomb. And there he sits at the table. Fellowship. As Mary looked at that scene, no doubt she said to herself, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. God has so blessed me. And she breaks that box. Read in verse 3, she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This time, she's at the feet of Jesus, not in sorrow as she was in chapter 11. She's at the feet of Jesus in appreciation. It is as if she said, as she falls at the feet of Jesus, Lord, I didn't come to ask you anything today. I didn't come to ask a single thing. I just come to praise you today. I just come to thank you. Lord, I want to tell you that I love you, that you're the dearest friend I ever had. You're my everything. And she's pouring that ointment on the feet of Jesus, and she's wiping his feet with her hair, and she's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have so blessed my soul. There she is, with a heart bubbling over with gratitude and love. She's filled with wonder. She's filled with amazement at his goodness toward her. And she breaks open that box and kneels at the feet of Jesus. And again, I want you to know today, Jesus is here. Look at the scene. All because of him. All because of him, you have been raised from the tomb. All because of him, there's a place at the table for you. All because of him, you can sit at the table. All because of him, you've been cleansed. All because of him, you've been forgiven. All because of him, you found pardon and reconciliation with God. All because of him. As unworthy as we are accepted by God. Oh, we ought to follow the example of Mary and fall down at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I just want to praise you today. I just want to thank you today. Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you today. I just want to say, thank you, Lord. When was the last time you fell at Jesus' feet? And you said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for saving my soul. When was the last time we fell at Jesus' feet in appreciation? There's that song, If I Leave This World of Sorrow. Sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven. And we'll talk the ages through. But at first you fail to see me. Let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ my Savior for saving a wretch like me. One day we're going to be in heaven. But you know what? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to fall down at the feet of Jesus and to sit at the feet of Jesus. We can do that today. But one day we're going to be in heaven and we're going to fall down with all the saints of God. We read in Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. And we'll cast our crowns before His feet and we'll be saying, Thou art worthy, Lord. Thou art worthy to receive praise. Thou art worthy to receive honor. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And as we walk through heaven and see all the blessings of heaven, we'll be saying, Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. But when was the last time you just fell at the feet of Jesus, like we see in John chapter 12, and say, Thank You, Lord. Three times we see Mary of Bethany. Three times, three separate set of circumstances. But each time, she's drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to be drawn there. I want to be drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. When I have a problem, when I have a difficulty in my life, I don't want to be drawn to the world. I don't even want to be drawn to my friends. I want to be drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's where Mary was drawn. And when her dear brother died, and her heart was filled with sorrow, all she had to hear was, Mary, the Master is come, and He's asking for you. And Mary, He's waiting for you. And off she went. And she fell at the feet. She fell at the feet of Jesus. This is where we need to live. We need to live at the feet of Jesus Christ. This is where we ought to desire to be. At the feet of Jesus Christ. I don't have to wait till Sunday. Jesus is here, but I don't have to wait till Sunday to sit at Jesus' feet. I can sit at Jesus' feet every single day. I can fall at His feet every single day. And if I do that throughout the week, guess what? When Sunday comes, I'll be at His feet. That's where we'll be. But if you spend your week at the feet of the world, you spend your week at the foot of man, and you spend your week at the foot of vanity, you're not going to walk into the house of God and suddenly spend your time at the feet of Jesus. That's where we need to live today. I ask you, are you sitting at His feet today? When was the last time you just fell down at the feet of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you just fell at His feet to thank Him and to praise Him for saving your soul? Brother Larry, if you'd come and